Tonight, we'll check in with Representatives Dan Brady, John Cabello, and Robert Martwick after Governor Rauner's budget address. Then later, we'll get some tips on how to land a plane in case of an emergency. And finally, a local organization is in need of cuddle volunteers. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
I want to listen to that show. How you doing? I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. So happy to be home. I am very happy. That's too much, right? A little too excited to be here?
The people outside seem to be enjoying your jumping.
I was dancing and excited. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Yeah. Hi, Rob Martier. Hi, Esmeralda Leon.
Hi, Patty Vasquez.
Hi.
Craig Collins, everybody. Hello. I'm home for I'm here in the studio for a week and a half. And then I leave again for what? For what? For Marine Corps boot camp.
Boot camp.
We terrified Mark Carman last night.
Yeah, he's scared.
Yeah. Rob, basically, the Marines will be kidnapping us and sending us to an undisclosed location.
I heard the portion of the show last night on my way home when I think it was a 20-year Army vet that called in, basically giving Mark Carman the business, saying, look, pal, you better put on your big boy pants, otherwise you're not going to make it. Uh-huh. To which, this afternoon, when I got into work, of course, I gave Mark Carman the business about being such a wimp.
You got to give him the business. Because, well, the veteran was telling him that he'll be a target. One, he'll be a target. And two, he made the very good point that Carm and I, once we are done with our week of observing recruits and training, we get to go home. And the men and women training at Camp Pendleton are doing their duty and serving their country. So, buckle up. Strap yourself in. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Yeah, Carm is, I think, most concerned that he'll be assigned a unknown bunkmate. They're going to be giving him.
When I heard his concern, again, listening to your show on the way home last night, I immediately thought of the character Francis in Stripes with Bill Murray and John Candy. And
I kind of like that. He's a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was this thing? He was very threatening, wasn't he? Well, if you touch my stuff.
Yeah. If you touch my stuff, I kill you.
Yes.
I don't want to see any of you guys looking at my stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think he meant his other stuff, right?
Well, you can interpret it that way, sure. Absolutely.
I always interpret it that way. Now, 312-981-7200. I need a listener who has heard the governor's speech today. I want to see how many people listen to the speech. 312-981-7200. Governor Rauner gave a speech, his budget address today in Springfield. It was broadcast right here on WGN Radio during Steve Bertrand's Noon Hour, MB Financial Noon Hour. So I believe that's right. I don't want to give the wrong sponsor of that show. But so give us a call. I want to know if you heard it. Rob, did you listen to the speech?
Only the highlights. I've got four kids. It's tough to tune in.
I really got to learn how to just listen to the highlights when I'm sitting in the same room. Yeah. Esmeralda, did you have a chance to hear any of it?
Yeah, just the highlights.
The highlights. I have to give you guys a copy of the speech. I don't know if you saw my post on our Facebook page. I have a page there. There was a little bit of... it didn't start out well, I will say that. It was very much like, we haven't done much. We haven't gotten anywhere. And also, if you don't do it my way, nothing's going to happen kind of a thing. But printed on the speech, I just wanted to find out if nobody, 312-981-7200. Okay, this is what's going to happen. This is what we're going to do from now on, by the way. I came up with an idea in the car ride home from Springfield today. We are going to have, how we used to do it ought to be a law? We haven't had the opportunity to do that anymore because Senator Katowski has moved on and is doing his wonderful work at ChildServe. And it's been a little bit harder to get him on the air. Fortunately, he will be here shortly co-hosting the rest of the show tonight. I have decided we're going to start a civics class. We are going to do Civics 720. That's what we're going to do. Illinois Civics. Esmeralda's like, I got to go. Rob, I got four kids.
No, I think it's great. I don't think enough attention is paid to the process. I don't think enough attention is paid to how things work, how the wheels are greased, so to speak, down in Springfield and in Washington. It's important.
Yes.
It really is an important process, and people have to understand it.
Well, Representative Martwick was telling me in the car that he met with some of my high school students. They were registering to vote, and they're all very excited about which presidential candidate? Bernie Sanders.
I'd have to say feel the burn.
Feel the burn, because he said that he's saying that he's going to make college affordable and or free. And so Robert Martwick asked, do you know who your governor is, because your governor is actually your governor and many of the legislators are in the process of making it more expensive because a lot of financial aid and MAP grants are going unfunded. About 2,000 students are going to have to withdraw or have withdrawn because they no longer have financial assistance to complete their community college or other college education. And I talked to Representative Kifowit, who told me that in the next few months, if things don't improve, there are up to 50,000 students in the state of Illinois going to universities and community colleges who will lose their financial aid, many of whom will not be able to return immediately, if ever. So that will also affect our rating of our universities in the state of Illinois. That includes your five major universities, so state universities. So he was asking them, do you know who your governor is? And they didn't know who the governor was. They said, some kids said Quigley. I don't even know. That seems like a combination of things. It's a combination.
Stevenson?
Ooh, I had somebody on Facebook tell me that a lot of our state problem, our budget problem,
yes,
was Streeter's fault.
Oh.
I don't know who that is.
Streeterville.
Streeter.
No, that makes sense.
Anyone know who Streeter
is?
Yeah,
it's down here. It's all coming from down here.
They said it was Madigan, Rauner,
and Streeterville.
And Streeter's fault.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, okay, we gotta strip this thing down.
This class is a really good idea. We do. We all need this class.
Gotta strip this thing down. Also, we've been talking about having, I am a little bit amped. We've been talking about having field trips to Springfield, and I don't know when that's going to happen. So I think, first of all, since I'll be going down to Springfield and I also have you all have access to your legislators. You just do, by email, by phone. Many of them have given their cell phones out on the air. Representative Kifowit has said that she wants to call back sometime and give her cell phone. And I'm like, that sounds like a bad idea. But she said she wants to do that to make sure people know that she's accessible. But I think we do this, Craig. We start taking emails from people. Let us know your district. Or, you know what? Give us your zip code and tell me what your concerns are. We will print those up, and I will take them to your legislator, and I will have a conversation with them. I'll either record it or at least
let
them
know.
There we go. I think we start that way.
Yeah.
And then we eventually do the pretty late field trip.
Mm-hmm.
Down to Springfield. Like, you know, when you were in eighth grade?
We will draw from those emails. If you send us an email with anything.
That's it.
We'll then draw from those emails when we actually take our trip.
Yes. We'll keep those.
Uh-huh.
I got this.
So you're entering into a contest by sending us an email.
Yes.
And also you get to talk to your local legislator.
Exactly.
That's so nice.
There we go.
Wow.
I will get your information to them directly and say, please contact your constituent.
Yeah.
They have these concerns.
I can feel an award coming out of some kind. I feel like we're going to win some kind of award.
Okay, so civics class, field trip.
Right.
And what are you going to call, like, how when I pass along? Well, we'll figure it out. Coming up after this break, we have to talk to somebody. We're going to talk to Representative Dan Brady after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Just got back from Springfield, and I was in the press box in the House of Representatives to hear the governor present his budget address. And joining me on the line is Representative Dan Brady of the 105th District. Hello, Representative. How are you doing?
Good, Patty. How are you? It's nice to be with you.
Wonderful to be with you. It was great to see you, too, in the rotunda outside of the chambers. You came up to me and were telling me a little bit about sort of the information that the governor was trying to share, in addition to sort of, you know, putting forward this, you know, not necessarily a challenge, but a proposition. But what was your takeaway, just first of all, of the broad scope of the budget address?
Well, I think, first off, it's a change-up, as I would call it, a change-up from the standpoint that the governor put forth really two pathways. One pathway that would say, let's try it together. Let's try it together with a budget that is going to be cuts, it's going to be reform, and it's going to be revenue, increased tax increase. I'll talk with you about that, but help me with some reform and some belt tightening, and then let's talk revenue. And then the other, of course, was if you don't want to do it that way, ladies and gentlemen, then give me the authority to go in and try and produce a budget, making even more catastrophic cuts than what's presently going on in order to try and balance a budget. And so those are really the two pathways that the governor unfolded today. I think that it also was a speech that had really an extension, I think, of an olive branch in a variety of ways of, hey, you know what, first year, I've learned some hard knocks, that this is not one of my businesses per se. This is state government. It's different, and I've got to work in some areas about trying to build in rapport and build more confidence and compromise.
Well, now, just give me, walk me through how working together with cuts, just whether, what would those, first let's go with cuts. Are there cuts in particular that he, because I didn't hear any of them, what the targets would be as far as cuts. Is it extraneous spending that perhaps seems like it's not being productive, or is it social services?
I think that what the governor will probably zero in on some of the things you've heard before. Taking another bite at the pension apple, pension mm-hmm. reforms, looking at thinking that, you know, what he would save in billions there, looking at a change in capping on salary spiking at schools and universities across the state for those higher end employees, higher salary employees across state agencies and cost, you know, is that going to be a cost shift there? Talking about other proposals and where he could save in criminal justice to group health care to transformation in other areas. And then he indicated in technology some of the things that he would like to do that would be a cost savings in a longer projection from the standpoint of investment. So across the board in those areas and more is where the belt tightening, you know, is would continue. And then you have to talk about some of the reforms that the governor still is very much
committed to,
in the way of trying to get some of those. Mm-hmm. And then talk about, you know, what would be revenue enhancements, what would be new revenue into the General Assembly, to the state budget, the general revenues.
Right. So the pension issue can obviously is first and foremost, considering so much of our budget. Is it 25% of our budget is dedicated toward spending on the pensions?
Well, I think it's that and more, especially when you factor in the debt side of things that the pension, our five pension systems have in the state of Illinois, and that's something that, you know, depending on which day you hear the governor endorsing and being supportive of what's been President Cullerton's pension legislation, and, you know, saying that he would not only support it, but whatever type of bill that he finalizes with, that being President Senate Cullerton, is encouraging. But then the president seems to kind of maybe waffle back and forth on what truly is going to be the bill from what we saw and heard last year. So that continues to be a work in progress, as other areas. But I think really the point to focus in on coming out of today's speech is the fact that really you can have it two ways. I prefer the way, meaning Governor Rauner is saying, I prefer the way that we can try and find some common ground together, or I'll go it alone if that's what I have to do, but give me the authority in which to do it. I'll make some of those cuts and some of the things we've been talking about. And obviously they're going to be much deeper than just what I'm talking about here on the
which we had some taste of last year after the first budget address that he had, when there were cuts to programs that were, well, first there were cuts to the park systems and nature preserves, and that came before the cuts to autism programs, epilepsy foundation, after school programs, Meals on Wheels, a lot of social services. There were $26 million in cuts to social services on April 3rd. So I'm guessing that's kind of the kind of drawback that he's talking about in those areas. So how is it different? So the first one, working together with cuts, reform, and tax increase, possibly revenue generation. How is it different than what you guys have been trying to work on for the last 8 months?
Well, I think it's different from the standpoint that the governor has come around to be able to say, I moved off of really 12 points of what I considered needed to be structural reforms that he felt he had to have.
Okay.
And has really whittled that down to really two or three, I think, that would probably be part of the final budget negotiation. And then also, I think the governor has, you know, come to understand a little more of the legislative process and what he's truly up against, being that the majority party is Democratic and that the will of the speaker is something that probably, I believe, was underestimated. And then I think there's been an attempt by the governor from when he first came into office and maybe kind of at times going going into the China store like a bull, understanding that when those things happen, especially when you're talking about unions and when you're talking about some of the things that the governor talked about in bargaining and local control, the list goes on, that those are all things that without maybe sitting down first a little bit more, we might have been able to soften some of the blow that came out of the whole thing. And that makes for, mistrust. And that's
absolutely
something I think he's been trying to repair.
We have a listener. Representative Brady, do you mind taking a question from a listener?
Sure.
Absolutely. Here's Rich. Hey, Rich, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing tonight, Patty?
Very well. What did you want to ask us?
Yeah, how come, I mean, I understand the state's pension fund is in deep trouble, and it has been for a long time. But when they talk about making cuts to it, why don't they ever mention that the majority of the people that are in this pension fund are not eligible for any Social Security benefits? You know, whereas when I retire, I can draw Social Security and the pension that I've earned from another job.
Right. But they cannot.
Where these people,
right? They paid
are
in.
Not eligible.
Right? They paid in sometimes as much as 12% of their income. Hold on one second, Rich, and let's give Representative Brady a moment to answer that question. What do you say to that, Representative Brady?
Well, when you talk about that, they don't mention that. Maybe some of that gets lost in the discussion. I think what also gets lost in the discussion, when you talk about the pension system and any one of our five pension systems, is the fact that the individuals, state employees, paid into the system.
Right.
So they are entitled to what they're going to get out of that system at some point in time, whether it be a teacher, whether it be a state employee, a university employee, they pay into the system. I think that gets lost as well. But where the whole problem, is and has been for years is in the underfunding of the pension. So you got the employees doing what they're supposed to, putting in their share, and the state has had the default on the other side. And point fingers whoever you want, that's not going to get us the reforms and the changes that we need. But I've always been an advocate that whatever we do when it comes to a pension plan and reform of the pension plan is that we start by putting all five systems in, mm-hmm. whatever that plan's going to be. And thus far, any plan has not had the judiciary in it. And that's one of our five parts of our pension system. So if it's good for everybody else and it needs to be done, changes, then it's got to be good enough for all five systems.
I'm so glad that we had you on the air tonight. It's been a long time since we had a chance to speak with you, it was early last spring. Do you mind if we talk to you again next week? Because we have so much more to talk about, and we have to go to the
sure.
news in just a moment. Thank you so much. It's Representative Dan Brady of the 105th District. Go to rep-danbrady.com for more information about his district and what he does. More after this on 720 WGN. That's pretty happy music. I think this is appropriate because last night on our very show, Representative John Cabello told us that he was very optimistic about the governor's speech, the budget address that he was presenting to the General Assembly today. So we have him back on the show tonight to see what he thought of the speech. How you doing, Representative Cabello?
Good. It's good to be home.
Me too. I feel the same way. I was like, I really need my own bed tonight. I just need Well, you didn't sleep very well in Springfield, did you?
I never do.
Yeah. It was a long couple of days, it seemed.
Yeah, no, it's always good to be home. Had a nice frozen pizza. And I'd be looking forward to sleeping in my own bed after a nice cold Miller Lite.
Nice. Okay, so last night you told us you were very optimistic. You felt that today's, that you had a little bit of insight into what the governor was going to say. What did you think of today's budget address?
Well, I think the message was there. The message is, look, we need to work together. I think there is a clear path on coming together, working together to come up with a budget for 17 and to fix 16. I kind of would have liked maybe a little bit more of a positive message,
mm-hmm.
But sometimes we need to hear the truth. And I think some of the truth was, look, we haven't done our jobs, and I think we're kind of failing the taxpayer who actually pays all the bills. And it's time to get down to work.
Well, how is okay? So we were talking to Representative Dan Brady, and he said that he believes this is a changeup, and there are two pathways: either working together on cuts, reform, and tax generation and revenue generation, right, which would be taxes and other things, or you guys give, and that's the General Assembly, give the governor complete authority to make cuts, which might be catastrophic or devastating to some communities?
Well, it depends. Yes, that is kind of the message that was sent today. I think that if there is if we don't take option A, which is the working together, some reforms from the package that he has presented, not all of them, but some of them, and a tax increase, then option B would be to give him limited, in my opinion, limited amount of.
But he didn't say that. He said, give me the authority. He didn't say, he said, give me the authority, right? I'm just saying.
Yes, but I don't think anybody in the General Assembly would say you have the total authority to take care of this from here on out. We've given, or at least past General Assemblies, I guess I wasn't there at the time, past General Assemblies have given Governor Quinn some authority to manage the budget. And that is without the General Assembly's approval on exactly the way he spends or cuts to come up with a balanced budget. I believe that what was not said was that he is looking, if we don't take option A or we can't work together and we can't have any of these reforms, then we need to look at possibly doing what has been done to or for Governor Pat Quinn. Mm-hmm. And I think that it would be over the start of fiscal year 17. So I don't think it would be from here on out.
Okay, so let's go back to the first pathway, which is working together on cuts, reform, and revenue generation. How is that different from what was attempted last year?
Well, I'm not. I don't think we talked about revenue last year. I think what was going on was look to achieve lower taxes, and that is, in my opinion, the goal. I think we paid way too much in taxes, property taxes, income taxes, and all of the taxes that we have to pay for gasoline and everything else. The goal is to lower those. And the way we do that is by adding people to bring them into Illinois and having businesses add jobs. So we have more people paying in. The more people we have paying in, the less we have to pay. I think structural reforms would actually bring in more businesses. It would generate a climate that is good for business.
Okay.
When business is good, hopefully they're good partners and they pay their employees what they're worth. I think we have to have those structural changes. I don't necessarily agree with all of the structural changes. But that's what the process should be. Look, here's what we agree with. Here's what we don't. What can you live with? What can't you live without? And let's start there.
Right.
I don't think that conversation has actually really taken place. It was all just, no, we're going to do this, and we're not going to talk about anything else. Well, that's not a negotiation. That's not true saying, look, we want to work together. I don't think any side should get everything they want. But if we're not at the table talking about it, nobody's going to get anything.
Right. You mentioned making a climate that's more attractive to businesses and bring them into the state. And a lot of times it seems as though Wisconsin, Michigan, and Indiana are pointed to as examples of states that are just more attractive to businesses, that people are fleeing Illinois and going to them. And just last week, the carrier company in Indianapolis announced that they would be moving over 22 to 1,400 jobs to Mexico. And that's a state that we've heard is someplace that is really attracts businesses. The CEOs do very well, so they have more jobs. This seems like a company who got everything it wanted and it still wasn't good enough. I'm just curious if you'd heard about that.
I have not. Now, I do believe that Indiana has a higher corporate tax than Illinois. But when you look into everything else, it's actually cheaper to do business in Indiana. So I'm right here on a border community.
Right.
So we have Wisconsin pitting themselves against us all the time. And, of course, the businesses are going to do what they want, which is use each other against each other so that they get the best possible deal.
Right.
Well, there's a business that if they moved across the border 12 miles, they would save $75,000 a quarter in workman's compensation payments. So if you don't give them tax breaks, if you don't give them different types of incentives, then they're going to move. And guess what? Then all the people move with them. Now, since it's only 12 miles, would they technically move into Wisconsin? Maybe not. But will they be then pay Wisconsin income tax? So we've got to look at it in a balanced approach, in a way that makes sense for the taxpayer. Because, I mean, in my opinion, the ultimate goal is to lower our taxes. And that's the whole reason why I got into this was, you know, I thought our taxes were way too high and they weren't giving us good roads and they weren't giving us good schools. So let's fix these problems. But if we don't fix them, guess what? We're going to still have them next year.
You're saying taxpayers should get their money's worth. Which is roads, schools, social services. And by the way, ooh, I did want to say this one thing before I ask you another question. Well, let me stick with the businesses first. Is there any way, like let's say we make this state more attractive to businesses, is there a way to also have some sort of contingent, like some sort of a exit tax? Like if we give you everything you want and you try to leave, well, that's going to cost you. I'm just out of curiosity. Is there an incentive or some way to prevent people from leaving once they get everything they want?
I don't know. That's a good question. I apologize. You know, I've told you several times before, I don't have the answers to everything.
All right.
But that is something maybe we can look into. And or if we can't, well, then can when they ship something into Illinois, because the people are still going to buy their products, is there a way of making sure that we get our monies back? I'm not sure if that is possible, but maybe we should ask those questions.
I have another question before we take a break. Do you mind holding on the line? And I have Senator Dan Katowski in the studio just came in. He's going to be on the show with us as well. Do you mind if we continue our conversation after a break?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. We're talking to Representative John Cabello. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Representative John Cabello on the line with us. And in studio, we have Senator Dan Katowski, who has given up his seat. He's not given. Would you say given up or whatever? You're not there anymore. You're working for ChildServe, doing good things directly, as many people are trying to do in the General Assembly. Representative Cabello, we already have a caller, and I don't know if this is our Joe, Craig? It's Joe. It's Pumpkin. Hey, Joe. How are you doing?
Hey, my hat's off to you, kiddo, for presenting forums like this, which were tremendously productive and encouraged conversation, as you said, with a positive aspect. So
thank you.
Kudos. Okay?
I thank all of our representatives and senators for joining us and providing both sides of the conversation.
Absolutely.
Joe, John, Joe. And
okay, good
Joe
enough. Hey, listen, Carrier is the latest example, but I think even a more recognizable example is you like Oreo cookies? They're going to be making in Mexico now. So we not only have a local state crisis, if you will, we have a national crisis. We remain and have been for eons.
Hold on a second, Joe. I love the idea of Oreos being a crisis for the country. I think it really is.
I mean, even with a thin Oreo coming out now.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
But nevertheless, if they're made in Mexico, hopefully they're good. They use good water down there. But in any event, we have a local crisis in Illinois, and we have a national crisis because of the global community. And we are globally connected, if you will. We're the highest tax rate on corporate entities, if you will. That's why you find so many billions and trillions of dollars offshore. You bring that all back into this country, you'll see the gross national product grow by leaps and bounds. I mean, I'd predict 4 to 5%. Over the anemic 1.5% we have right now.
Okay.
So my hat's off to Runner. He's got a tough road to hoe, but he's trying to do the right things to make Illinois a correct, fertile environment for business, which means jobs, good-paying jobs, and, you know, a thriving economy.
Well, thank you, Joe. Real quick question for Joe.
Rate that he references, do the companies actually pay that rate, or are there several deductions that reduce what the standard rate would be, Joe? Is that fair to say that they all actually pay the rate that you're claiming is the highest in the world?
Or maybe Representative Cabello could answer that.
Yeah, either.
Yes.
I'll answer it too.
Representative Cabello?
Well, I don't think that we have the highest in the nation. Again, I think the corporate tax in Indiana is higher than in Illinois.
No, I mean federal, not Illinois. No. So if I indicated that Illinois is the highest, you know, in the world.
Oh, yeah, it did sound that way. It
did
sound
correct.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We're going to let you go if you don't mind. By the way, we always welcome your contributions to the show. We have Representative Cabello on the line and Senator Katowski. I had a question about one of the ways Governor Rauner referenced social services, Representative Cabello and Senator Katowski. He called it a safety net. And I have to say, having been a part of, I guess, my son being in the system since he was born, since the day he was born, we were assigned a social worker and a physical therapist. We were entered into early intervention right away because my son was not breathing when he was born, was unfortunately on life support for many days. And so we have been closely tied to early intervention and other programs since then. I have never thought of, once your son or your child or your parent or anyone in your family falls, you know, I guess it's with a safety net, isn't it, in case of emergency? Once we're actually in the net, it's no longer a net. It's actually crucial to our very existence.
Right. And one of the things I was talking to you about, Patty, is that human services for so many people, I mean, the vast majority of people in the state, it's a pathway to prosperity. It allows people to achieve their potential.
Right.
Their God-given potential. They have an opportunity to achieve their potential. And when you look at some of the investments that occur in the state budget, whether it be for kids with autism or epilepsy or any other special needs or MAP grants, this is an investment in achieving the potential of the people living in the state of Illinois.
Right.
And we have a wonderful opportunity to do that. And sometimes I think budgets are kind of framed in a way of spending or not spending.
That's what I thought, Representative Cabello. That's kind of the way I heard it today, too, is that it sounded a lot like, give me what I want or the kids get it or are vulnerable get it. Does that sound familiar to you? Or have you heard that kind of reaction to today's address?
No, I guess I didn't take it that way. First of all, it's always good to hear from the senator. I respect him immensely.
It's good to hear your voice, Representative.
Good man, we miss you.
Thank you.
I think when we look at the nuts and bolts of the budget, when we actually get numbers and when it's actually presented in bill form, I believe that all of the services that you just described will be funded, and if nothing else, at least at fiscal year 15 levels. I believe that this is going to be. That's the way it's going to be. I think everybody has heard that we can't cut those. If we lived in a perfect world, I think we should have five priorities, which is taking care of our children, our elderly, our disabled, fully funding education and infrastructure. Everything else we need to look at is where can we cut from that, but we should never cut those five things. I believe that in this budget that will eventually be put in bill form, will have those services fully funded. And I don't think they should be called social services. They're human services.
Interesting.
That's the way I look at it. And we're going to fight tooth and nail to make sure that they're fully funded.
I have to say, I will remain suspicious because of last year's cuts to autism, epilepsy, to Meals on Wheels, drug rehabilitation on World Autism Day last April 3rd. So that was after, I think, a lot of people were assured in Springfield that there would be no cuts to those, that they would be zeroed out. Was that correct last year?
Yeah, and one of the things I think, as I think Representative Cabello could agree with, is that if you go on the state of Illinois, a website, illinois.budget.gov, you can get the performance of a lot of these programs in the agencies and who they're serving. And I think what taxpayers want to see is they don't want to just see results. They want to see impact.
Right.
And they want to see how when you invest in this, for example, the 140,000 students who are eligible for MAP grants, what happens when we invest in them?
Right.
And do they graduate? Yes. They graduate at the same rate as non-MAP recipients. And they go to college and they get jobs.
Right.
And so much of this talked about, like, what are we doing for businesses? And I think that's great. But what are we doing for the human beings, right, who are going to get those jobs?
Right.
And how can we invest in their potential so they start the businesses that are out there?
Representative Cabello, we thank you so much for your time. And we'd love to have you. We're being played off, Representative Cabello. I apologize. Go to johncabello.org for more information about our representative from the 68th District. And we will talk to you again perhaps next week or the week after.
Thanks for having me. Take care, Dan.
Great job again. More after this on 720 WGN. Go talk later. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Senator Dan Katowski. And on the line with us, we have Representative Robert Martwick, who thank you so much for joining us tonight. I know it's late and you have to get up early, so we appreciate your time, sir.
It's always good to be here, Patty.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what? I did not ask and I didn't have time to talk to Representative Dan Brady and Representative John Cabello about one in particular element of today's address from Governor Rauner. And I'm looking right now at the copy of the speech, as is Senator Katowski. You were the first one to alert me to this because I did not have a printed copy in front of me during the address. What jumped out at you right away, sir?
Well, it was somewhat surreal. I mean, there were clapping cues, applause cues. It was almost in the speech, and it was hilarious because you sat through the speech. It was not really that moving, and it certainly wasn't anything all that inspiring. It was a lot of the same old, repackaged with some different words and some nice things. But there were applause cues, and the Republicans were dutifully clapping, you know, it was just hilarious. I was shocked at it. I was like, what are we, in communist Russia, that you know, when Comrade Rauner is speaking, we all have to dutifully applaud? It was kind of funny.
Yeah, I was trying to think of this because I write material for the stage. And I don't think, I've never written, neither on the page, handwritten or typed up, this is where they laugh, right? Because that's basically what the governor or whoever wrote the speech for him did there. They said, this is where some people are going to applaud or where we want them to applaud.
Well, and maybe that's what they thought. This is where we think we've done such a great job that everyone will applaud for us. But worse yet, it really seemed like it was more like instructions.
It did a little bit.
They'll all be clapping at this point of the speech. And it was, I don't know, how full of yourself can you be when you get to that where you tell people where they need to applaud for you? You know, it's a minor thing, but it was kind of funny at the moment. I was really, it was a moment of levity when I realized what was going on, and I think we all did.
Well,
you'll notice there were a couple of times where Democrats kind of clapped out of order, and it caught him off guard, and he stumbled on his speech because he wasn't expecting that pause.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh my, I mean, I'm not allowed to, by the way, Craig, I'm not allowed to applaud. There was one time in the press box in the year that I've been going, or the 10 months or whatever it's been, there was one time when I started applauding. It was actually when Representative Robert Martwick was speaking, and it was about the, I don't know which one it was, but you were talking about babies on ventilators and the families who really rely on these services. And I was like, yes! And then I realized because a lot of people are applauding, and then I looked around, I'm like, oh, the press does not applaud.
You know the mistake you made, Patty, is you didn't start slow clap. If you had started slow clap, everything would have been fine.
I'm very good about not laughing and not because the press box does not, they don't get up for, like, when, you know, anybody on the floor says, please rise for, the only time we get up, I believe, is for prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. By the way, Representative, why did we not do the Pledge of Allegiance today? I didn't understand. We didn't do that or a prayer, did we?
No, we did. We did. I think you just hadn't. We did it right when we gaveled in at 11:30. So we did do it. It was early.
I missed it. They gave me a seat today in the press box. I was very, because I've gotten good at not responding emotionally. Mm. But I've only clapped once, and it was for Representative Martwick. Senator Katowski, you've had a chance to go over
the
speech.
I've clapped when he performs musically. He's very talented. And it's not like staged or anything like that. It's natural.
Is it a snow clap?
Like, yeah.
Wait, you missed my cues, Dan.
Yeah, your cues. It's like the sting. He just makes that move on his nose. And I'm like, oh, got a cheer now.
Okay, so Representative Martwick, I guess as we've been told by your fellow representatives on the other side of the aisle, what we've been offered are two pathways to the budget. One is working together on cuts, reform, and revenue generation, or give the governor full authority to make cuts wherever he wants.
Both of them are really, in a nutshell, they're nonsense. Okay, let's start out with the second one. Complete and total control to make cuts as he sees fit. Well, when I get it, I don't know, understand what my job is, right? I got elected by a group of people that said, we need you to go there and represent us in this process. So to think that I should just abdicate my responsibilities to someone who, as you said, was part of the Good Friday massacre of huge cuts to human services, No, you haven't earned that trust. And even if you had, I would probably still demand at least some role in the process, right? So that one's just off the table. And so we get back to what's left. Well, what's left is not work with me on reforms, right? Because there are lots of reforms that we could work on and we could agree on. In fact, we just passed a whole unemployment reform compensation package that we worked on together in a bipartisan fashion. Well, there's reform. We compromised. No. It's not compromise on reforms, because it's compromise on it's give me what I want in terms of gutting the unions, or we won't pass a balanced budget.
And right? I think he actually said that, didn't he? He kind of said, give me what I want. Or the kids get it. It's kind of what I heard.
Well, and it's exactly what it was. And, you know, there is, you know, when he talks about we need to make the state work better, there's no doubt. But what compromise means is get the government running today. And as we work on future reforms, which every single person at legislature has ideas on ways to make the government work better in the future. I do. We all know Dan did. He did a lot of that and accomplished some really good things, right?
So he looks. That's why he looks so tired.
I know. He worked his butt off, right?
No, I have a total face for radio.
No, but if we're going to do that, let's find the things that we can agree on, and the things that we don't agree on, that's okay. There's a process for that. I've been saying this from the start of this. There's a process for the things we don't agree on. It's called Election Day. Run your candidates against us. If you think we're not doing the right things, we'll let the people decide. That's democracy. That's the way it works. It's the way it's worked from its inception. But to come out and say, unless you kill the people that you represent, right? Because that's who we got elected by. Unless you attack the unions and you gut the middle class, well, then I won't be responsible and solve the budget crisis. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Did you ever think, Representative Martwick, that you would see a speech that was echoing Governor Quinn in its alliterative capacity? Revenue, reductions, reform. And that was something in Governor Quinn's. I've seen that in a couple of his speeches.
Yeah.
So I didn't think that I would never think that I, you know, and I remember when Governor Quinn had proposed it, you know, these were, you know, challenges that were articulated in the budgets and how we were going to deal with it. But I found it pretty unexpected to hear Governor Rauner quoting the same approach that Governor Quinn essentially had. Right.
Right.
But a little bit differently, though. That language says, give me the authority to cut spending to live within our revenues. That's unprecedented. It's something that I agree would never happen.
Yeah. He actually says, give me.
Yeah.
Give me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
why don't you earn it?
It is unheard of. Uh-huh. And I imagine, well, it could be his negotiating stance, but I was, I found that to be,
startling.
I found that kind of be interesting in the sense that, the governor has, I think he's kind of figured out that maybe some of Governor Quinn's approaches to things may have, you know, not necessarily been the worst way to approach governing. You know, because we talked the other day, I was on Mark Raquel, there may have been disagreements, but there was progress, mm-hmm. you know, when Governor Quinn was there. And we got budgets passed. We paid down bills. There are some, you know, major legislative
changes. Actuarially required pension payments.
Yeah.
Right? We kept the core operation of the government going instead of spilling blood by cutting off vital services to people who are our most needy citizens. I mean,
What was he referencing when he said they eliminated $1.6 billion in something? What was eliminated? He meant, or do we both stop paying attention when we realize that everyone was clapping on cue? I'll have to go through this and take a look.
I'd have to look back through it, what it was. I mean, I don't know. There are so
here it is. Factors. Although we succeeded last year in eliminating an inherited $1.6 billion budget hole without a tax hike, we are now in our eighth month without a state budget. That was confusing.
So he's talking about the 2015 when we did the fund sweeps, right?
Oh, I see.
Which... You know, depending on how you want to look at it, that's certainly not the ideal way to balance budget. But
I don't know if it was $1.6 billion in fund sweeps. That's
I don't remember. I mean,
that's like that's a large number. I keep talking about this fact that if you want to access some revenue, you can go to these special use funds. There's 800 funds.
Isn't there over $800 million?
Well, there's a lot more than... But the issue is whether or not that's not the best way to budget. It's a one-time fix, and
right,
there's
right.
better ways of approaching
people
it,
want structural change.
Yeah, they do, but I mean, in the meantime, it's like, well, can you draw from some of those committed but not needed dollars mm-hmm. to pat some holes right now? And you could,
right?
But I think you know, this is, it's just there are opportunities here. I agree with Representative Martwick to, you know, address some of these problems. And I also agree with this assessment that most people from both sides of the aisle, they want to get something done, and they want to keep the government operating.
I agree with the governor that people in the state of Illinois deserve so much better. Representative Martwick, I want to take a break here. Do you mind holding on so we can talk about something that kind of some exciting developments today and what happened in your committee hearing? Wonderful.
That sounds great.
More after this on 720 WGN. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation. 312-981-7200. Call or text us.
Former U.S. Attorney.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined on the line with Representative Robert Martwick. And we also have in studio with us Senator Dan Katowski, who is now the CEO of ChildServe. And I got to sit in a little bit on a committee hearing today. It's one of those things. It was a longer one than you think it would be, about 2 hours, Representative Martwick? Oh, hold on a second. Let me put you on the line. There we go. Yes. Hello. Oh,
there we are.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, it was long. I think it's a... You know, it's a huge piece of legislation. Obviously, we're talking about my bill that would give the Chicago Public Schools an elected school board. And, you know, there was some theater there, but mm-hmm. I think mostly it was, you know, people really asking questions in earnest about the best way to move this legislation forward. I was happy to take their questions and their thoughts and their ideas and suggestions. And I'm thrilled that we're actually, we made a little bit of history, and we've moved that bill now to the floor. And depending on what we do, we will have a vote on an elected school board for the city of Chicago.
And you had several individuals testifying, some personal stories, and you also had a professor of, the Department of Curriculum and Instruction at UIC, Professor Gutstein. Is that his name? Gutstein? I don't want to get his name
That's
wrong.
That's right. I think it's Gutstein, yeah.
Gutstein. And he was so specific in the information. And because these are graphs, these are, you know, numbers dating back. He took the NAEP scores. What are the, do you know what the, I don't have the breakdown of what NAEP, but it's proficiency in different areas of education.
Yeah, it is, you know, at least historically, it is a national test that you can actually compare, you know. It is a standard test, right?
Right.
So you can actually compare scores. Yes.
Right. So
it was one benchmark. And he admitted, he goes, it's not the only benchmark, but mm-hmm. it's accurate and there's some credibility to it.
And the gap between students who are of Caucasian backgrounds compared to students who are Black and Latino is significant and startling. And I've talked about this on the show before. Institutionalized racism in many communities in Chicago, I think, accounts for the high rates of crime and violence that we all want to see come to an end. And when you see this, where we've had over 50 schools closed on the South Side, and you have Safe Passage because kids might get shot on their way to school, and mm-hmm. then you see how badly they're performing in school, and we're not investing in them. It's a disinvestment, I think, was the word that I heard used earlier. The people in the communities need to be invested in their students, in their children, and the city is not backing any of that.
No, and that's exactly right. And this shows that since mayoral control of the school, that the problem has been exacerbated. Now, I don't think that was the intention of any of the mayors, but it shows that the policies that have been enacted have been acted with a bit of tone deafness, as it were. You know, when you have an appointed form of government and there is an accountability to the taxpayers, you don't have to listen to the taxpayers. You just do what you think is right and you go forward with it. And this shows that there has been some disinvestment in the schools and that there has been an inequality in achievement. And it's something that needs to be addressed. And again, that's why you have elected representative government, so that people have to be accountable and responsible to their constituents. It's what the people of the city of Chicago have been screaming for. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to give them.
Well, and there had been some talk in the last few weeks that the governor would like to take over Chicago Public Schools since they're struggling so much financially.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, that I think some of the questions that you heard from my Republican colleagues, although honestly it wasn't earnest, there was a little bit of a political backdrop there because they referenced a bill in which the governor would take over the Chicago public schools, have complete and total authoritarian control over them. There is a common theme here with that, you know, like with the budget, now with the Chicago public schools. If he could just take complete control over it, he could fix everything. That's his idea. Well, that's not what we want. His thing said, after I fix all of the problems, then I'll hand them over to you.
Right.
Well, you know, we've seen how that works in Flint, Michigan. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the ability to fix our own problems here in the city of Chicago, to address them, but to address them in a way that's responsive to the citizens and the taxpayers and the parents of students in the city of Chicago.
You and I talked briefly in the car about how, you know, people don't seem to understand the basic civics of Illinois government and federal government. And so can you explain to us, you proposed this bill and had, you know, people testify in this committee hearing. You basically have developed this. You were approached about sponsoring this bill. What happens next now that it's moved out of committee?
Well, now that it's moved out of committee, it'll move to the floor. There will be, you know, I don't control the next step. The next step is when the bill gets called for a vote, but it will move to the floor. When it moves to the floor and it gets called for a vote, I will present the bill on the floor. We'll have the debate much as we do any other bill. If it passes there, it will go to the Senate and we will start the process all over. And so, you know, we're looking forward to taking that debate to the Senate. If we pass it there, it goes to the governor's desk, and that's where he'll have to make a decision. Does he give the citizens of the city of Chicago, who in a referendum in 2015, 90% of the people who were able to vote on the question of whether or not they want an elected school board said, yes, this is what we want. We want 90% of us want an elected school board so that we can fix our own problems. And the governor will have to decide whether or not he's going to deny that.
Well, there you go. So that's one of our first lessons in our Civics 720 class. And we will be doing that every week. We'll figure out some different way to, whether it's Senator Katowski, Representative Martwick, or anybody else that serves in our General Assembly, or whoever is qualified. I think that we need to start learning more about this. And eventually we will take a field trip to Springfield. That's our big plan.
I like it.
All right. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again in the next couple weeks, Representative Martwick.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you.
Always good to talk to you.
Yeah,
see you tomorrow.
Great bill. Sounds like a great bill, Rob. Congratulations.
Thanks,
yes,
I
congratulations.
Appreciate it.
More
have
after this.
Have a great night, guys.
You too. Thank you. Get some sleep.
Bye.
More after this, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Senator Katowski, who is now the CEO of Child. What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
I don't know then.
I said,
did
I said,
he?
No, I didn't say anything. My goodness.
All right then.
What?
I don't know.
He made several noises in a row that sound like a word.
Yeah.
But we hope that he didn't say that word.
I would never say anything like that.
I don't think
air.
You did. I know. I'm just teasing you. Would you please tell us a good story? Do I need my hot chocolate?
Yes. So Mattress Firm, I don't know if I told you this, when I went there, they've been collecting pajamas for our kids in, mm-hmm. in foster care.
And these are children who have been you know, in horrible situations. And
right.
The hardest thing to do is to feel safe when you're in a situation where there was either domestic violence or disruption in care, you know.
Right.
When you go to bed, that's when you should feel safest.
Right. And there's been a lot of instability. They've dealt with a lot of trauma, and we're trying to help to heal them. And I went for an event with a Mattress Firm, and they've been collecting all these pajamas for about 200-plus kids in foster care. And I started talking to them. I said, you know what? Do you have any mattresses for sale? Ha, ha, ha. They do, because they're Mattress Firm. And
He's good with the funny.
Ha, ha, ha. That's the first time I've ever done that.
No, you have to
no
see?
Really? That's the first time I've ever done that.
I didn't have the stage directions.
Oh, oh, oh. Anyways.
Knee slapper.
And I said, you know, we're looking to get some mattresses for our kids. And they said, you know what? We'll check into it. I said, I'm looking for mattress covers too, because a lot of times there's allergens and there's bed bugs.
There's young kids who maybe they're still developing. And,
exactly.
Okay. Protect
the mattress. So Mattress Firm donated 18 brand new mattresses and 18 mattress covers for our kids. And what was so great is they made a video, but we can't make it public because they're wards of the state, but they made a video which was kind of shared internally.
Right.
At our institute. And one of our boys in the program basically said, this is the greatest thing. He said, you know, he goes, I said, I don't want to go to school today. It's not because I don't want to go to school. It's because I want to sleep in.
Aww.
I have such a nice bed. And, you know, it's that kind of thing. Because right. what we're trying to do is provide.
It sounds so basic to everybody else. Yeah, you have no idea.
I mean, we had one bed that needed to be fixed. It had a spring sticking out of it. And now all these beds are in perfect condition. And the girls and the boys who live in our group homes are sleeping more comfortably. And the best that we can do for them mm-hmm. is to provide them with a nice place to live, the support they need, so they can achieve their potential, right in life, and which is great. And so I just thought it would be a good story.
It is a good story.
Yeah, and
how are you coming along with the GoFundMe program for the
good? We're
for
still
the
making
girls
progress. Home. You know, mm-hmm. we're still making a lot of progress, and it's good. And there's one other story we have of a young woman who's in our group homes, and she had been one of five foster children.
Mm-hmm.
One of five. Came to our group homes, had a lot of problems, was running away a lot, and we have these things called unusual incident reports. It's just a way of describing something as bad as happening with one of our clients, and she probably had 50 of them. Now, she's going to UIC. She's getting a degree in law enforcement.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good stories. Good stories and about the impact. And I think that's what people want to hear about. And it gets back to that conversation we're having about the public sector and mm-hmm. and everyone's investment in our state. People want to see where the money's being spent. But all this discussion about, okay, either we cut or don't cut. How about we make a decision about what's working, what's not working?
Right.
And I've often talked to you about that. There's a lot of programs that work. In the state of Illinois, right? That help people to reach their potential, help people to become prosperous, help people to become taxpayers, and help people to start their own businesses. And there's a lot of great success stories that we have in our state. We have this wonderful ecosystem in the city of Chicago, technology firms that are growing every single day. There's this notion that if we're not helping the companies that are the major companies, we're not doing what we need to. But what about the small businesses? What about the medium-sized businesses?
Well, and that's something, you know, a lot of providers aren't being paid this year because they are paid by the state of Illinois, whether it's through Medicaid, early intervention. And they're small business owners who are taking out loans so they can continue to provide service. So there's a continuity.
Not to mention every single one of those nonprofits. They hire vendors. Mm-hmm. They hire technology people. They hire people who work. They could have AT&T. They have Verizon. Mm-hmm. They hire people who work in HR. They have they all buy insurance. They have everything. I mean, they buy supplies. They impact the communities around them. You know, we have for our organization, you know, we buy from Target. We buy from Staples.
Right.
We have, you know, we have copiers, and then people come in and service our copiers. There's just any number of interactions in the economy because of the organization that we're involved in. And then when you think about some of the organizations out there, it's not just the people who are working there to help people achieve their potential. It's also their relationships with the local business owners in the community. And when that dries up, it has a devastating impact on the economy.
Right. And a lot of those people, you know, who rely on payment from the state of Illinois, some of them may, end up going and doing something else or, you know, cutting. And I remember when Declan was aging out of early intervention, they were telling me how lucky we were because they were saying they were going to just dismiss a lot of their clients. They were no longer going to be able to participate in early intervention and had to go to private practice.
Yeah. And it takes the cycle about this to get people to receive those services again so they can achieve their potential, mm-hmm. right? The cycle, sometimes it takes years again to get people back, to refer back to the organizations that are, we're helping them achieve their potential in the first place. And where do they find them? Where are they located? And that's a huge undertaking. And so, you know, right now I think to your point earlier, it's like, you know, I hope something is resolved soon because this is a really big opportunity to be able to help people continue to be, you know, prosperous. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want them to do. I want them to see happen. And that's why I think so much of the discussion is about nationally, which it should be, right? About like what are we doing in our country to help the rest of people, young or old to continue to have a great quality of life and achieve their potential. And I think so much of the discussion has to be centered around that.
Well, people often say, I mean, like, you know, why should I, you know, why are they taking my money? Why should I pay for it? People often say that. Why should I pay for that? I don't have kids. I don't have someone who has a disability. We, again, I always go back to that night when we started talking about World Autism and the World Autism Day and the cuts to the autism program. We had a caller that Craig took who said, why should I pay for autistic kids? Mm-hmm. And again, Craig said, you know, why pay for anything then? You know, and people will say that. I don't have kids. Why should I be paying into education? Well, do you want a community of people who aren't uneducated? Why pay for anything? Why pay for our roads? Why pay for our fire departments or our police departments?
When you have an educated workforce, that means people are out there. They're innovative. They're creative. Mm-hmm. They're productive. They go, not only do they make their companies more effective, they also go out there and say, you know what, I'm going to go do it on my own. Mm-hmm. This is the great American entrepreneurial spirit, and I'm going to start something new and exciting and different. I'm going to solve a problem. I'm going to make sure I have a meaningful life. And by the way, by doing that, I may end up hiring a lot of people to do that.
Right.
And that's the key thing. I think there's this so much of discussion which said, okay, we're just this doesn't work. There's assumption that things don't work. Instead of talking about, all right, great, okay, for granted, you're assuming that everything that's connected to public investment doesn't work. I'll walk you through what's working, and I'll agree that some things aren't. But at the end of the day, when you look at, you know, the points that you've raised, you know, if we don't invest in people, right? If we don't invest in people, we're going to end up paying for it all these years down the road. And then people are like, oh my God, why do I have to pay so much money for this? And that's this discussion where versus, instead of saying the safety net, people are like, well, where's my safety net? It's like, no, this isn't about this, but making sure everybody achieves their potential.
Right.
You know, whether you're someone who's living in poverty, or you're someone who's low income, or you're someone who's just a middle-class family, which incidentally is, you know, dwindling year by year. But we're looking to make sure this in America that people have a chance to succeed across the board.
Well, and when people say that they want to pay less taxes, when you make tax cuts too, and we were talking to Representative Martwick about this, sometimes when you get a tax break, that costs you somewhere else. When you are given something back, well, that has to come from somewhere. That's not, and it may end up costing you way more than that $500 or $800 you save in your taxes that year or per year. You know, that may cost something in your community. That may cost something to you directly that you don't even realize until later, or may never realize. It just happens. It's kind of X away at the, you know, the overall cost of what it means to run a government.
Well, here's what's really so bad about this from a policy standpoint. When tax breaks were given to these very large corporations just to keep a basic level of jobs, right? And if they didn't get them, would they pay back the tax breaks that they received, right? And so there's notion, it's like, well, no, I need to stay here. So mm-hmm. Give me this tax break so I can stay. And the question is, the point was like, there's an assumption that when you give someone a tax break, they're going to create more jobs, right?
Right.
And so what was raised earlier, we had a company move from Wisconsin recently. Why did they move from Wisconsin? Why did they come here if it's such a great environment? There's 175 jobs, SC Johnson. They came here to Chicago because there's this great ecosystem and we have a world-class universities and this is a world-class city. That's why they came here, right? But there's this notion that you give me a tax break, and that's what's been so wrong-headed about these policies, all these giveaways and these givebacks.
Yeah, why are they never held accountable for, shouldn't there be, okay, we're going to give you this tax break, but you have to demonstrate, there has to be a demonstrable effect because of this. You have to show us where you've provided jobs, you've maintained the company here, you've given back to the community. I mean, why is there never sort of like if this, then that situation with the tax breaks?
Here's what it's wrong-headed about the model. The model assumes that the reason why people are in business is to have a certain number of jobs. And that's not really the model. The model is, well, I've started a business so I could solve a problem and I could be profitable. And by the way, we've created jobs. But, you know, I just met with someone today and said, you know what, we're going to have to lay off 100 employees because we're not as profitable and we're not providing that service that we once were and people aren't looking
right.
for it. And it's like there's this assumption that just because you're in a business, you want to keep the same number of jobs that you always did.
You want to keep the money.
No,
you want to keep making money.
Businesses, this is capitalism. Yeah. Businesses are created to be profitable. Mm-hmm. And so the notion is, well, okay, we're giving you tax breaks so you can keep a certain number of jobs. Well, what if the company is no longer profitable? And is the tax break going to ensure the fact that they're going to be a profitable company?
Right.
No, it's you know, what happens if the market changes? What happens if people don't want widgets anymore? What if they don't want to buy George? What if they want to buy?
I haven't bought a widget in so long. Continue our conversation with State Senator Degutowski, now the CEO of ChildServe. Join our conversation anytime, and you know, we invite you. This is for everybody. 312-981-7200, and in a little bit we'll find out how to land a plane in case of emergency. 720 WGN.
Tommy, can you see me? Can I help to cheer you?
Oh, you're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I'm in a giddy mood because I'm back. I'm back for a little while, and I'm in the Allstate Showcase studio. State Senator Dan Katowski, now CEO of ChildServe, is reading the Chicago Tribune and looking for the piece that Scott Santis did. He is our political cartoonist, and he did a great piece on the empty seat that the Supreme Court Justice Scalia leaves behind and the battle over that. Did you have any thoughts when you saw the sort of the immediate political battle that unfolded on Saturday? It was a little strange. I mean, I guess not unexpected.
Yes, I guess not unexpected, but there was a great post somebody on Facebook this week, and I think it was Pat Gallivan posted it or somebody that, and it was. Scalia had a great relationship with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and the point was, I think what's kind of been lost in this country is the fact that, you know, I get that, you know, he had a different point of view, but maybe, you know, he was a person who had definitely redeeming qualities. He was a quality person, a good family man, and
a scholar, constitutional scholar who had.
And so the thing is, I think the challenge, and on both sides of the aisle, people like, you know, someone's not even been waked yet. There's not even a funeral, you know, and there's already like the jockeying. And that's what I think turns people off about politics.
Right.
But it is the other component is it's like, you know what? We're not going to do anything. And I think the American people are fed up with this notion that, you know, I've hired you to do a job and that you're not going to do anything. You're going to slow walk something. And that's all you're going to do. You're going to abdicate your responsibility and you're just going to slow walk it. And the thing is, you get paid $172,000 a year. And as senator, like, actually $200,000 something.
What?
Yeah, you can pay a lot of money to be in that job by taxpayers and to slow walk something and say, you know what? And it's this whole question of whether or not the president is a legitimate figure or not. He's the president of the state. He won two elections.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. The people should have a say in who the next Supreme Court justice is. They do because he was elected president of the United States.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look historically.
And the senators have.
I think what was the longest period of time? Was it 90 days with the Senate?
It's usually 72 to 90 days is what I've heard.
That's the longest period of time. It's like, okay, we're going to wait. This is February.
Mm-hmm.
The next president doesn't take over to mid-January. I think January 20th of next year. And I mean, that's we have major issues before us. In the United States of America, and I think on both sides of the aisle, I think people have recognized throughout history the importance of selecting the next Supreme Court justice and to vet them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you have issues, you know, I think the president has an opportunity to propose somebody and to be vetted by the Senate. It's advising consent of the Senate, and the Senate makes determination, and they should vet candidates right now. That's how they should do it. It shouldn't be done in the media and say, you know, we're not going to do anything. No, you should do your job. You should have somebody presented.
Right.
You should vet them.
Yeah, it was a strange day where within two, like you said, hours, and there were already statements coming out from Mitch McConnell had a press conference mourning the death and immediately saying, we are not going to allow this president to nominate the next Supreme Court justice. It was very strange. And to Rob Martier's point, we talked about this last night about the filibuster for Samuel Alito's spot on the Supreme Court. The situation was also different in that Sandra Day O'Connor was retiring, right? So the whole tone was different. It was, here was somebody that people really, I mean, again, she was retiring. She was stepping aside to take care of her husband, I believe, at the time. And it just, the whole context is different. And also Judge Alito did eventually become a Supreme Court justice. The process worked. Everybody did their job.
Right.
Anyway, more after this on 720 WGN.
We are entering adult topics here. You have been warned. But we will keep it classy.
Yes, absolutely. But you know why? Because we have a senator in studio with us. We will absolutely keep this classy. Has he ever been here for an adult topic?
I feel like he had to be here for a midnight tease at some point.
I don't know.
Because it came right after him. When we were on Sundays, we would midnight tease immediately after Senator Katowski.
And I believe that's when he would run out of the building and be like, I can't possibly be present for this situation.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing better than coming out of a news break and hearing the words, what's a vampire breast lift? I think that's a...
You know what's funny about this story, too? I found this out as you asked me to Google some stuff while we were coming into this segment.
Because I really... Okay, let's go ahead. Go ahead, yes.
Well, they gave away a lot of the same stuff last year.
This is the Oscar. The Academy Award is giving away swag bags to the celebrities.
And they did
the
same,
everybody wins.
Right.
Yes.
They did the same stuff last year, the same brand of a few of the things. So it's I don't know why it's making more news this year than last year, but... It's a repeat.
So they did do the...
Afterglow is the name of the brand. Mm-hmm. It is an Afterglow vibrator.
Afterglow? And what makes it $250?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Because sometimes you... Esmeralda, I don't know if you've ever purchased any items of...
What?
Welcome to the conversation.
Esmeralda's like, oh, yes. Now? I have thoughts on the budget.
I think my mother is asleep.
Yeah. I hope she doesn't podcast.
Yeah.
She's going to wake up really quickly if you answer
this. Cool.
Yeah.
She's cool. With asleep.
Asleep.
No, not with that. I don't know.
All right, then.
I don't talk about that.
All right, then.
Yeah.
All right, then. See, and you know that look, the reason we have a game called What's in the Box is because I do a lot of my shopping online, and sometimes I should make sure that I make sure I know what's in the box. It's not always going to be Lego toys for the boys. It's going to be maybe toys for mommy. So I have to make sure that I get the packages first. So I like to read reviews.
This is like so. This is what I've been missing, Esmeralda. I didn't know.
You didn't know. There's a wide range of price points, right? There's anything from about $8 to now apparently I've never seen one for $250. Craig, can you please describe to us? Did you get any? Are there any reviews for
Afterglow? These are the moments in this show when I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Do I listen to what Patty just asked me to? It's on Amazon. Brand is... Actually, you can get it for $150 on Amazon right now.
Oh, see? And this is... Okay.
Yeah, really, that's just the full retail, $250.
Okay,
and it glows.
I do like their website is afterglowscience.com.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of science.
Right. They're science.
It's very scientific. It has one review and 3 stars. Not impressed.
That's not good. That's out of five.
That's this one that I'm looking for. That's this one that I'm looking at right now. I'll look for.
Wait, but you said how many reviews?
Just the one.
See, that's you can't judge on one.
Right, you need more than that. Okay, we'll click on this one. Why am I doing this to myself?
I don't know. I just clicked on something because I was asked, what's a vampire facelift?
Yeah.
And
well, that's not what it is, though.
No,
it's a vampire...
breast lift. But why am I looking at something called the vampire facelift?
It's the same thing. Same idea, principle. Don't they inject blood, isn't it? They take blood out. They... like centrifuge it and then put it back in.
Kim Kardashian
the one? Yeah, she's got a selfie of herself. Yeah,
right. Well, I heard it did good things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good for you.
She's had a vampire facelift where blood is drawn from your arm, spun through a centrifuge to separate the platelet-rich plasma, and then reinserted back into your face. And the process.
Sure, I had that done.
I sold those at Groupon.
did you?
I called companies. We did facelift things.
I thought you just slathered it on your face.
No. You actually get blood extracted from your body. Like Patty said, it goes through this little machine, and then they put it back in, and it's supposed to do good stuff.
Then why was she all bloody in that picture?
The process stimulates collagen, leaving you refreshed, glowing, and flawless.
Yeah. Esmeralda wants the answer to her question.
She attacked a wolf after it happened.
Are you questioning the logic of Kim Kardashian?
Why I thought. You put it on your face because she was all bloody in the picture. You just put it on top.
Just her getting confused.
She did it wrong.
Yeah, she's. Well, my guess is that she's. You know, it says reinserted. Reinserted.
I don't know for sure. The way that you're supposed to do it, as I remember from the sales calls, is you're supposed to reinsert it into your body, and the platelets, the rich platelets, help benefit you somehow.
Okay.
I did a real good job.
So that's in the swag bag. The face, but for the breasts. They are now doing this. They've used this technique to create fuller, perkier cleavage, And now it's the vampire breast lift by drawing, spinning, and reinserting blood back into.
I'm going to have some seriously strange dreams tonight. Mm-hmm. I just want to know.
If we're going to just talk about,
this is going to be better than melatonin.
If we're going to just talk about Kim Kardashian, did anyone see the photo today of the tape? Her tape
right.
situation.
Yeah.
What's her tape situation?
She tapes them up.
Yeah, that's how she actually lifts herself up for her dresses. Mm-hmm. She just puts a whole bunch of tape on the sides
Gaffer's
of her body.
Gaffer's tape.
Okay, yeah. So I have been known to. I've been
it's
known.
No, really high end duct tape.
It is very nice.
She said that she tried duct tape. Mm-hmm. She's tried everything, but Gaffer's is the best. Hurt.
What's the difference between Gaffer's? What's the?
Well, I've used double sided upholstery tape. Just so that we're all clear.
Is Gaffer's like a version of electrical tape? What's Gaffer's?
Yeah,
is
it? I'm not sure.
That's not the right question, Senator Katowski.
Yeah,
I got that. Said like, something.
I used double-sided upholstery tape.
You drove right over. Yeah.
No, I did. My arms were folded earlier. I don't want to know.
I'm abundantly curious about the removal process and pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, it's not fun. Yeah, you got to commit. You
this just
know.
Keeps getting better.
Why would you do that?
Because there are certain dresses I would like to be able to wear.
This is the whole exactly. like shoes that hurt yes. your feet to a completely different level.
I would say upholstery tape better than wearing uncomfortable shoes.
You know, my mom says that beauty is pain.
It is.
So you gotta, you know, suck it up. Sometimes
yeah. there is suck it up or tape it up, whatever
like a,
it takes.
That's like a Yeats poem. Like yep. a terrible beauty is
exactly
born.
Exactly correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
There is no male equivalent to you guys taping up. I don't understand.
Except yes. for the American Eagle tattoo emblazoned across my chest. I love America.
You have a commitment to patriotism, sir.
Boy, does that guy love America.
Yes, he does.
Sorry. I don't know what it is 1:15,
wow.
right?
It
this
is.
This is what we were missing by having him in on Midnight Teases. This is what we missed out on.
I know. We have to have him in some time to read a review for What's in the Box. That would be great. Although if he ever wants to run for office again, maybe it's not a great
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, it's over now. So sayonara to the future in politics. Then again, if Trump can do it, anybody can.
I'm saying.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
This makes you seem like you're just, you know, hanging out, having a good time, having a regular conversation.
Just a regular conversation.
Yes.
With Chelsea late night. Right?
Seems no. That's mean.
No,
I'm just irreverent.
You're
I'm irreverent.
Right.
I'm not.
You're not a reverend.
A reverent.
Oh, irreverent.
Irreverent.
You are very holy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What were we talking about? I don't know. Let's go.
Double-sided.
Double-sided upholstery tape. And not down there. That's that just gets whatever. It's like wax. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm enjoying the stunned look from Senator Katowski. You know what? Someday the off-air conversations will be broadcast in some capacity, but we have not recorded this one to the benefit of everyone involved. You know, my mother knew about that. Not that part, not the details,
yes,
but
yes.
My mother. We've talked on the air about how I dated Keith Van Horn from the Chicago Bears, didn't I, Craig?
Gosh.
At some point.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about that a little bit on the air. From the 773...
Are we on air or off
we
the air?
We are on the air.
We're on the air at this thing. You said one of these days we're going to talk about what we talked about off the air, and you just talked
now
about
the
on
details.
The air.
Uh-huh.
Today is the day, apparently.
It's not the day.
Today is apparently that day.
Double-sided upholstery tape.
Some other form.
Yes, sir.
From the 773, someone said the male equivalent to taping up your boobs would be putting a tube sock in your jeans. That is not
No.
Accurate.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, because women also put stuff in their bras.
That right. sounds soft and comfy.
Right. Also, the removal of a sock is typically a lot less painful.
Boy,
yeah, I'm not enhancing. I'm not doing anything except propping them up a little bit. They're still the same. I'm not enhancing them in any way.
I have so many things to say.
And you can prevent nip slips that way.
So
I'm assuming you cover the whole thing.
Did we just say
nip slip?
Nip slip.
Sure.
It's entirely the reason that I do it. Mostly to lift and to prevent nip slip.
We need to change the way we think about the budget. Sorry, I was just quoting...
Reform, renew.
Subway, reform, what's, renew, and revenue.
Yeah, it was
I'm sorry. Did I miss something that was
know.
Stated early?
This is probably the most fun
wow.
I've ever had on my show.
This is good.
On and off the air. Appreciate it.
You know what would be good, though? You would have a juxtaposition of someone reading the budget and then.
While I'm talking about nip slip?
Nip slip.
Yeah, okay.
That's actually the way we're going to solve the budget this year.
Yes.
That's one of the reform areas.
Mm-hmm. A sock in your pants, nip slip, and the budget.
I just got a call from Barb. She would like us all to know that we need to speak one at a time because she thinks we're having too much fun with all of us talking.
Okay, your
ready?
Turn.
Ready? One, two, three.
Right. You go. Point at each other. Point at each other.
Oh. I raised my hand earlier.
That was
did
nice.
You?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're the host.
I know.
I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize, sir.
I do apologize. I got a lot going in my mind right now. Uh-huh. I was saying I'm sorry to whatever.
To Barb.
To Barb.
Yeah, to
Thank
Barb,
you, Barb
and to the whatever priest I need to go see tomorrow.
All right.
What have you done that's wrong?
Nothing.
All right, then.
That's what I'm thinking.
We're doing confessional now?
Yeah.
No, we're not.
Yeah, pretty late confessional. Mm-hmm. Senator Katowski, what have you done that's wrong?
Yeah, what did you do that was wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's just so many things.
Go ahead, open up. There's no one listening. It's just a couple people here.
And 38 states.
Yeah, I just
Canada, forget 38
states. What state are we in again?
Illinois.
No, I'm good.
I wonder if Davide has been checking in on our Facebook page. Everyone can check in with us at Patty V Show on Facebook. We are 10 likes away from 3,500. We don't promote that page enough. I know.
You have to.
I have to catch up to Nick D. Nick D is, he's so
What's
good
he at?
At his, he's over 10,000.
Yeah, he's close
really?
To 12,000.
You really have to be proactive. Every time someone comes on, they call you. Hey, could you click like?
Click like.
Click like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you call in, you said to click like.
Well, they don't have to call. It's probably even easier to just click like than to call.
That's
in.
True. You can, but after you talk to somebody, you'd say, hey, by the way, did you click like?
Did you click like?
You didn't like my brilliant idea?
I do
great
love
marketing idea.
Always
one person at a time.
I've been doing it one person at a time. That's why.
You're right. That's why you're at 3,500.
And we
brilliant
also,
marketer you are.
I know. And also my podcasts are all available at WGNradio.com. Some of them we have segments of the show.
Right.
The full podcast is available the day after we broadcast.
So, it's like listening to the Thornbirds. It's a long podcast.
Are you stuck on the priest thing? Is that
the priest thing? No, it was a lengthy,
You seriously have priests on the brain.
I do a little bit.
How often do you confess?
Not often enough.
All right, then.
It has been a while.
You know how many times I've confessed? Never.
Come on.
I'm not Catholic. I don't have to. Mormons don't have confessional.
What?
I was a Mormon until I was 10 years old.
Who are you?
Yes.
You're a Mormon? You dated Keith Van Horn? What is this? What is happening in this show right now?
This is the last hour of the show.
What is this? The last hour?
Talk about this all the time.
All bets are off.
Same topic every week.
I'm a Mormon? You think we've never had this conversation? My God, you were the opening act for Dynamo Marie for how many years?
I know.
This is like...
Craig, is this a surprise to you that I was a Mormon?
Did you know that Patty was a Mormon?
Yeah, no, not a surprise at all. I knew that there was some different religions going on when she was getting raised. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When she was getting raised?
I know that her stance on how to raise her kids is very cool.
Open-minded?
Very open-minded. Yeah. So you figure that comes from something, Senator Katowski.
I just thought she was a Buddhist. I just,
nom yo krengekyo.
Mm-hmm.
Nom yo krengekyo.
Okay.
It's Buddhism. It's a, yes. It's
Namaste.
It's a different thing altogether.
It's altogether. It's something you could say. You could say that to a Buddhist.
And please do.
Yes.
Early and often.
And I have.
Someone from the 309 says, I like what's happening, but I have no idea where any of this is going. That's a good point.
That's a good point. Me neither.
That's right.
What do you want to address first, Senator? Do you want to address, what are we on? We've got nip slip. We've got I was raised a Mormon. I've got
Keith, big number 78 from the Bears. Keith Van Horn, big fan of his.
Mm-hmm. He owned at the time when I was dating him a Maine Coon. It's a cat. It's a breed of cat.
Those things are ridiculous.
They're very hairy. They're like long haired cats, and they look like little lions.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
A Maine Coon.
A Maine Coon. It's a breed of cat.
I heard you say it the first time.
He also had a wonderful wine collection. That was he had a whole wall of like just a great wine collection. It was fun to watch football games with him because you know who would often call would be who's the one that yells a lot on Sundays with the Three Bears. Jay
Helgen? No. Jay,
I know. Why am I blanking? He yells all the time.
Well, there's...
And they would be on the phone.
Tom Thayer still does it.
Thayer would hang out with us, too. And Thayer was interesting. He did not like me very much. He thought I was too much of a smartass. And then eventually, so did Keith Van Horn, which is why he stopped dating me. I was too much of a smartass. He turned to me in the car one day and goes, seriously, do you ever stop talking?
Did you say no? I don't.
He was not the first person to say that to me on a date.
Did you say, are you supposed to?
Yes, Craig.
In my Mormon church, we talk all the time.
You were asking for who screams a lot on our show? On the Three
no,
Bears?
No, on the Three Bears.
I got it. I'm not sure. I can't answer that question.
Jeff Joniak?
No, the former bear that played with Van Horn.
Right. That's on WGN Radio.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're talking about Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich. Yeah, that's what I thought you meant.
Was it Hampton? No.
Hampton yells. Ed yells sometimes. They all yell. Carm says that everybody yells.
I can't remember who used to call, and they would be yelling about calls for other football games. It was always funny to me. I'm like, I was so surreal because I'd be sitting there with a Super Bowl champion, and they're yelling about other games, and he's got you know memorabilia all over the house, you know ball game, you know game balls, and it was very strange. It was a very weird time in my life to be dating a Super Bowl champion.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Yeah. It was very cool.
Was this before you toured with Pat Benatar, or was this after?
Love is a battlefield.
Do you remember? It totally is. Really,
we belong. I did
whoa,
not belong.
Whoa.
Yeah. The Do You Ever Shut Up thing has come up for me a couple times. Kevin Bozeman, who has been a guest on the show. Yes.
That's what we have in common. Mm-hmm. Except my father used to say it to me. He'd say, please, son. Please, could you just stop talking? Please, we're writing like these long family chart. I say, hey, Dad, what about this? Dad, what about this? I have a question for you. And then finally he'd say, son, he'd say, could you please just stop for a second? Could you just please stop talking? And I was like, but Dad, he's like, no, just for a little bit. Just give me 10 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah.
And your dad is adorable.
We had five kids and my grandmother
were
in the front
one,
seat. And I was in the back and I was like, oh, Dad, what about the Cubs? And they picked up, Ryan Sandberg. What are they? And we'd go on and on. And he just had enough. And he would just, very kindly, he said, you're just going to have to shut up for a little bit. So.
Yes, Craig.
From the 847, they think it's Kaz, Glenn Kozlowski, who yells all the time. Yeah, and then from the 815, I would love to hear what you guys talk about off the air! OMG, this has me rolling on the floor laughing. By the way, Patty for president. Keep up the great work.
I agree.
Can you imagine?
I'd be a delegate.
You and I could both just. I had my seventh grade teacher told me that my mouth was like a caboose on a track with no end. Was when he said I was just a caboose, like no engine, just running down the track.
My mouth was just going with
no end in sight.
And then he
paddled me.
It's been like that from the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I was always talking.
Was there ever like a period of silence when you were living in the monastery, was there silence?
We've talked about this. I was going to go to a retreat. I want to go to, we should do this. There are retreats around the country where it's just you're silent.
Well, I've been on one.
Patty has to take a notebook with her when she goes. You've been to one?
Listen, I've been on one with my. Here's the irony, because remember I told you how my father would say you're going to have to stop talking. So we go on a silent retreat. My father and I about 5 years ago. He doesn't stop talking, and now he's like in his 70s, and I'm like, Dad, it's a silent retreat, and he's like, I know, but I know that guy. And the guy who led the retreat was somebody he was in the Jesuits with, and he'd say, yeah, but you keep talking to me. I'm like, Dad, it's a silent retreat. Oh, no, it's not a big deal. I'm like, it's a silent retreat.
I'm sorry, Senator, you have to stop talking. Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, sharing way too much about my life with State Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of Child Service. Yeah, you're trying to adjust to all the information that you're getting.
So much information.
You're concerned for all of my ex-boyfriends.
Dear Diary.
Yes, and how much information.
I cannot wait to get home.
You know, he's not alone in being curious about things. From the 708, Patty, I'd like to hear a lot more about your paddling.
My paddling?
Yeah, that's from Chris.
Oh, yes. My teacher at Our Savior, I went to Lutheran school. So the reason that I was a Mormon until I was 10 years old was...
because the Lutherans made you do it. Yes. That's...
No, I became... I was baptized Mormon. In the Mormon church, the idea is that you're supposed to come to the church willingly at the age of reason or logic. And for me, they decided that at 10 years old... I was ready to willingly say I wanted to be baptized I had two missionaries come to my house every week. My dad loved when they rang the doorbell because he would be waiting for them, and he would answer the door in a wife beater, a sleeveless t-shirt and his boxers and two bottles of booze. He would have a bottle of Jack Daniels and a bottle of Cuervo and say, what'll it be, boys, left or right? Because obviously Mormons don't drink.
Right,
my dad was a Catholic, and he was amused by the entire thing. Why were the Mormons at my house?
No, but why? How were the...
Why was he
allowing? You baptized Mormon then? I mean, was your mama Mormon?
Yes. My mother was in Mexico City. My mother was the divorced single mother of three children, which in Mexico at the time, in the 1960s, it was very hard to be a divorced mother with children. She was struggling, having a hard time. And one day, the missionaries knocked at her door, offered to give her help as she listened to them, and became a Mormon. She promised all of her children would become Mormons. And I was not in the picture yet, so it wasn't fair for me. But that's still, that whatever, you know, that's the way I was raised. My mother, her children, two out of the three became Mormons. My brother, Jesus, was a Mormon missionary in Utah, of all places. Craig, why are you looking at Craig?
Because I feel like this is like our Kaiser Sose moment where... I feel like she's weaving a tapestry of tales. Yes. They're coming from, oh, yes, of course.
By the way, our listeners are still waiting for the paddling.
My brother, Jesus.
Jesus.
My
brother's name is Jesus.
No, I believe it.
Jesus.
These
Luis.
Are just like, you know, you feel like you know somebody, and then you realize that they, you know,
he
you don't.
By the way, he's an accountant in Atlanta, Georgia. He's a conservative Republican Mormon, Mexican, in Atlanta, Georgia. He told me this story one day. He does the accounting for a convent, right? So nuns who run the office, they were leaving a note to let them know that my brother was going to be there the next morning. So they wanted to have the information he needed, you know, whatever the Excel spreadsheets and things like that. So one of them wrote on a post-it note, Jesus will be here in the morning, be ready. But how do you spell Jesus? Jesus will be here in the morning, be ready. Which had to be a little bit startling for the sister when she arrived. So yes, my brother.
I once on the Senate floor misprinted. I had a page, and I said his name was Jesus, and
yes.
Then it was Jesus. And then one of my colleagues, Dale Ryder, got up there and made fun of me. It's like, oh, you know, this.
They do know it's the same name, right?
Yeah, they made fun of me. But then I proceeded to, he's like, oh, Senator Gadowski, you obviously don't know, you know, whatever. So then I proceeded to speak Spanish to say he had, you know, nada en su cabeza.
Right.
You know,
was it as good as Ted Cruz's Spanish?
No, much better. Más mejor.
Más mejor.
Más mejor que Ted.
I've
doesn't sound that much better.
I-A-E-O-O, burro sabe más que Ted.
I asked my brother, I used to call my brother Jesse or Jess. That was his nickname when I was growing up. But when he came to my wedding a little over about 16 years ago, when I was married in 2000, I called him Jess, and he goes, I prefer to be called Jesus. He goes, that's my name. And I said, oh, okay, no, that's fair enough. You know, I used to be called Patsy. I don't like to be called Patsy anymore. Stop it. And I said, and he goes, I just don't appreciate being called Jesse anymore. That's fair. And I said, can I call you Jesus? He goes, that works.
Come on.
I'm not kidding you. You can ask my mom. She'll tell you. Yes.
Jesus.
Which exactly. Yes.
Jesus.
We should call him sometime. We should have my brother on the show.
Have him mm-hmm. to just call him up.
Yeah. Just go. I'll get his number for my mom for you.
Cool.
That'd be good.
Get me Jesus' number.
I will
call Jesus' number.
What is it?
That sounds great. That's a great guess.
1-800-HEAVEN.
Heaven. So my sister went to Brigham Young. I used to go stay with her in Carbondale, in El Dorado, actually.
Whatever. Really? And then I went on this backpacking trip.
So I think part of the reason why my mom liked the Mormon church was that she could drop me off on Sundays. It was from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. was how long I spent at Sunday school and church, which is a great babysitting service when you're... it might have been Jesus.
Come on, Jesus.
Might be. So I went through...
That's quite a commitment.
It was a lot. You know, my favorite part of my Sunday school, and as I got older, I used to help prepare the communion. Even before you were baptized, you could take communion.
Right.
Obviously, it's water and bread. They used bagged, like the wholesome white bread, and we would cut it into cubes.
Sure.
And put it in, it was like a little cool little tray. They would pass it up and down the aisles, mm-hmm. and little cups of water, mm-hmm. because they don't drink alcohol. So I would have a missionary come over every week, and they would talk to me about the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith, and you know how the whole church came to being, how the angel Moroni came to him and explained how Jesus had come to the United States, had interacted with the Native Americans, and the different teachings of the Mormon Church, and the philosophy and the beliefs. You know, eternity was probably the hardest thing for me to wrap my mind around.
Is he like
their description of eternity?
Is Greg like, are we still on this topic?
No, I'm thrilled that this is where we're going now. Go ahead, explain to us why
eternity
in the Mormon Church is where, like,
where they lost me.
Did he say, because the story is like eternity?
No, I did not say that at all. I am just curious now.
How far back are we going in the Mormon Church?
In general, so in the late 1800s, the burnt over district in New York. That's where a lot of different churches emerged. You know that, and then they fled.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway. So eternity is hard for anyone to wrap their mind around. But they described to me when I was a child, and this is the part I remember the most, is that there are three circles of eternity. The bottom circle was for, and this is where people talk about planets and things like that, but the bottom circle was occupied by people like murderers and rapists, like the worst of the worst. So basically like hell, but that's, you're farther away from God in the bottom. And in the middle were like liars, maybe cheaters, adulterers were in that middle circle. And there's only so far, once you have passed on to the afterlife, you can improve your distance, like you can get closer to God, but you'll never be in the top circle. And those are the people who've led a pure life. They've led a righteous, they've gathered righteous souls, meaning they brought more into the church, whether it's by procreating or, being missionaries.
Can I say, why does this kind of sound like Mean Girls? Like, you get into the inner circle? What's that all about?
This is what I'm saying.
That is a solid point.
So, yes. And that was the thing, was I was like, have I already messed up? Is it already too late for me? I was like 8. I didn't know what counted as, like, right. I knew I wasn't a rapist or a murderer. And then, by the way, learning that at 8, it was a little intense. The day that I remember realizing I had to become a Mormon was the missionary put his arm around me and he goes, look, if your parents died tomorrow, let's say they fall out of a window and you haven't been baptized, you will not be able to spend eternity with them, which sounded a little more like a threat than actually like an explanation of why I needed to become a Mormon. Like, I was like, why are my parents falling out of a window?
Is it a second story window? Because did you live in a bungalow?
Yeah, only a second story window.
Wait, so do you have to choose to be baptized?
You do. You have to choose to be baptized. You have to come to it and say, yes, I want to join the Mormon Church and become a Mormon. So anyway, and I've told this story on the air. So it's just me and the missionary, just me and the one dude. Mm-hmm. And we're in white robes and we walk toward each other. You walk down these steps in this pool and he's talking, blah, blah, blah. The reason I don't remember it is because at one point I had my back against his forearm and he took my forehead and just shoved me backwards. No, like, hold your nose and heads up or nothing like that. And I started choking and I came back up and I was terrified. And he did it 2 more times before I had a chance to catch my breath or clear my lungs. And I had always imagined that coming to the Mormon Church, being baptized, I would feel like enlightenment and the grace of the Holy Spirit. And instead, I was really scared and upset and hurt. And that was my last day as a Mormon. I was 10 years old.
That was an amazing story.
Wow.
We can take a break.
Yeah.
You are gifted.
Paddling after this. We're 720 WJM. We didn't get to it.
It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow. No, we didn't get to it.
How much of this should we listen to? We've gotten kind of sad. Are we just tired? Maybe
no.
It's the winter. We haven't been dancing.
The show is going great until that.
Well, I feel like
baptism story.
To the baptism. Yeah. We didn't even get to the paddling.
You mean the drowning?
The waterboarding.
The drowning.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. My goodness.
I know.
From the 847, I'm listening to your story with great interest as I am a sympathetic ex-Mormon as well.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Validation.
Mm-hmm. As though I wasn't telling you a true story.
No.
It's very specific.
I thought it was a true story. It was a lengthy true story. It was
that was only a little bit.
Well, the liver.
By the way, thank you to George Samuel and Nick Lopez, who are new fans of ours on the Patty Vasquez. Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez
awesome.
On Facebook.
Did you get some more likes?
I did get some
what
more
What are you
likes.
Up to now?
My guess is 3,594. Something
you were like. At 3,500 before.
No, 3,490. I said it was close to 3,500.
So where are you at right now?
Let me see. Do we have, how do I get that number? Do you, Craig?
We are just around 3,493.
Yes.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. You picked up 3 likes tonight.
I did.
See, this marketing stuff is really, it's all coming together, the big plan.
And thank you, Robert D. He has a lot of faith that we can catch up to Nick D. It's not about catching up to Nick D.
No,
it's about
your
maximizing our potential.
You're carving your own turkey. You're,
yes.
You're, it's not you're a, following your own.
Carving my own
I'm sorry, it's so late.
That is not what we are doing.
You're not covering. You are
not correct.
You're forging through your own.
By the way,
we do have to
mention that Nick had a few years of a lead on us to create that page. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah,
he's very good at talking about and making sure people know where to find him.
Well,
I'm kind of like, thank you for being here.
I tell you, this show is just going to be tonight. Is going to catapult
one for the
you.
Record books. What do you think, Craig? Really is that this one for the Silver Dome? You
know, oh, yeah, I've highlighted this one as well.
In Utah right now, it's just like, whew, there's likes all over the place.
Thank God for the Rocky Mountains.
Thank God.
That's all I've got to say.
Once it echoes back from Salt Lake City.
They can't hear anything. Mm-hmm. Nope. They don't hear anything. So we still want to hear about the paddling? Is that what the listeners waiting for?
We did get some texts asking for the paddling.
So once I had friends who were in Catholic Church who went to St. Tekla. And I had friends who went to Tekla, St. Tekla. St. I don't know how else you would say Tekla.
It's you did.
All right, thank you very much.
I feel like Keith Van Horn right now. Let's go.
Don't you? No, you don't. So
no, you don't. What's that?
I don't know.
Come on.
All right then.
Let me feel like Keith.
Okay. That's up to you. That's entirely your purview, sir. That gesture is go to WGNradio.com.
Go to WGNradio to see Senator Katowski do the bear.
The bear.
Just a giant bear.
Oh, Patty.
So I had friends that went to St. Tekla, which is in Norwood Park. And I had some friends that transferred from my grade school of Onahan to Our Savior Lutheran Norwood Park. And my parents wanted to get me out of Onahan. I was getting beat up. At my school, I was bullied. Anyway, that's a different day. So I ended up transferring to Our Savior Lutheran. I'd gone to St. Tekla to see if that was something that drew me. And we decided that I would go to the Lutheran school right across the railroad tracks, right across from my house on Northwest Highway.
Okay.
Okay. So Mr. Zielinski, let's call him Mr. Zielinski because that was his name.
Mr. Z.
The teacher. Yes, Mr. Z, the teacher who told me my mouth was like a caboose on an endless track, a track with no end. There was a day when let's call him Rob Grabowski. And let's call her Terry O'Connell, two of my friends in sixth grade. I don't know what we were laughing about, but I made them laugh. I made some joke, and they were laughing and laughing. And they were taken. Mr. Zielinski pointed at them and told them to follow him into the hallway. And I felt like I dodged a bullet. And he had two paddles on his desk, Little Mo and Big Ben. And he would bring them out in the hallway with him, and he would allow you to choose which one you would be hit with. And Terry O'Connell and Rob Grabowski were taken outside, and they were hit first. And then he summoned me.
Who did he hit them with, Mo or Ben?
I don't know. I believe I chose Big Ben because Little Mo had. Well, there were holes in the paddle so that it would be more aerodynamic.
Exactly.
Right. So one Big Ben, obviously.
Less wind resistance. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. You know what you should never do is have your house keys in your back pocket if you realize you're about to be singled out for paddling. So he hit them each once, and because I don't know if they ratted me out or why it happened in that. We've never talked about it. We've never discussed why they were called out, and then I was then also summoned later. I was hit 3 times by the paddle. So that was – I didn't know that was going to happen. I did not know that was going to be.
Please tell
one,
me the story
three.
Doesn't end there. had me. I was a hook.
You know what was sad? Rob Grabowski got paddled again the following year. This was tragic. His dog died. And I don't know if like Mr. Z didn't know, but he was crying. He was upset. He was talking during class. And Mr. Z took him out of the class and paddled him the day his dog died. I've never forgotten that. I'm serious.
Is he still around?
Mr. Zielinski?
Yeah.
No, he is not.
No.
Okay.
He was eaten by a dog.
Do you think he got into the inner circle?
I think he's, I don't know if he's in, I think the middle circle. I think he's not in the top circle. Well, the Lutherans don't have that. The Lutherans they're like Catholic light. They had very nice potluck dinners.
Do we go to afterlife based on what we believe? Is that how it works? Like I just get whatever I thought was real?
That I like that.
Okay, cool.
All right then.
I like that then too. Donuts for me.
Donuts for you.
Donuts. What kind of donuts?
All kinds.
In your eternity.
The afterlife? It's all kinds. I can't. I don't want to stick to
And munchkins?
Like a glazed.
Of course.
The donut holes?
Yeah, the donut holes for sure.
Glazed donuts.
Glazed are good, but you get sick of them throughout eternity.
Throughout eternity.
I don't know. I think if you're in eternity, everything's rocking, you know? You're not going to say anything.
You don't have to do it.
You can hear stories all night long.
Wow.
That's...
We never learned how to land a plane in an emergency.
We have not.
No, nope. We did. We landed a plane.
Did I land the plane in an emergency?
You just...
does this feel like a pull out? I mean, pull up. Pull
land
up.
It.
Wait, what? 737. How to land a Boeing 37. I did not say anything untoward. I just want you to know that. Last year, an American Airlines pilot died in the cockpit. Shut up. And in the middle of a flight, passengers on the plane were never at risk thanks to the prowess of a co-pilot who was trained to fly solo. I would imagine that's par for the course in pilot training. But in the event of both pilots dying, there is a video on YouTube that gives you a tutorial on how to land a Boeing 737 on your own.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd love that.
Yeah, there you go. So you can go to YouTube. I sent you the link, and you can Google how to land a 737 or go to YouTube and find that video as well. So... Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm watching when I get home tonight.
I don't think we need that much information. Sorry.
These self-improvement suggestions are really. And that's why I'm a Renaissance guy now.
Are you really?
Yeah, feeling very, very Renaissance.
Yeah, you sound like a poet right there.
I feel like a poet.
You know what? There's one of the problems, and I'm sure you addressed this when you were serving in the General Assembly as our state senator. Technology, like hacking, like security when it comes to computer systems. Was there anything in place in the state of Illinois in the event? Like there's a hospital in Hollywood that has been hacked, and they're holding a ransom. They're demanding millions of dollars. Otherwise, they're going to release information about patients. Well, this is a true story.
Yeah,
this
I believe you.
Hollywood Presbyterian Medical Center. They've been offline. They've been having to, they had to switch to paper. They have to do everything by hand right now because the hackers were said to demand $3.4 million to provide the codes to unlock the stolen data.
Interesting. We haven't had, fortunately, any situations like that.
Yeah, and this is the next thing, isn't it? I mean,
we have had like strange envelopes with, you know, powdery substances and stuff like that. Mailed to the Capitol before we've gotten a heads up from the state police. Yeah.
That doesn't sound good at all.
No.
Well, let's take a break here and discuss more after this on 720 WGN.